for farmers and for ranchers. And by that, the coverage is really against acts of Mother Nature, which could be drought, freeze, flood, fire, hot, dry winds, any of those adverse weather conditions that might arise. Now, in the crop insurance program, the rates and rules are set by RMA, which is a division of USDA, and they're all the same among crop companies that provide insurance, agents. But really what we have to sell is the knowledge of the program and service of the program.
What crops can you cover? Or maybe should I ask, what crops can you not cover?
No, let's talk about that, because I started in this business in 1988. I was actually a crop adjuster for a couple of years, 86, 87. And a friend of mine owned an agency and was going to need to sell due to health reasons. So I purchased that book of business, couple PermaPack boxes, in 1988. And we look at what we do today compared to 33 years ago. But today, crop insurance covers over 130 different crops and covers almost 400 million acres across the U.S. And so the crops that we really look at here in western Oklahoma would be annual forage, barley, cotton, grain sorghum, pasture, range, and forage, peanuts, rye, sesame, wheat, corn, oats, soybeans. And I actually did a program, I don't know, about a month ago or so for a Rotary Club, and I had looked up this information, which includes this area also. And in 2020, crop insurance liability was $147 million in about five counties in western Oklahoma and covered 797,000 acres.
That's a lot.
So what does that mean to you, Jimmy, and what does that mean to folks here in western Oklahoma? That means if we had a total wipeout, which probably wouldn't happen, then that would generate $147 million worth of income to this area. And that is huge in order to sustain business world, infrastructure. And so, yes, crop insurance becomes very much a cornerstone.
It does. Hey, if you're just now joining us, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO, and I'm Jimmy Clark, and I'm talking with insurance agent Kathy Fowler. Actually, she owns it, and we will be right back after this.
Okay, is that okay?
Hi, folks. Calvin Wright, beef, industry news, and coming up, the U.S. Supreme Court rejects a petition against California's Proposition 12. We'll explain in a moment.
Cotton isn't a crop. It's a calling. That's why you battle resistant weeds with guts and determination. BASF helps you win with the most effective in-season weed control program on the market. The powerhouse trio of Ingenia, Liberty, and Outlook are best-in-class post-herbicides, each with a different mode of action, so weeds don't stand a chance. Protect your calling at cottonweedcontrol.com. Ingenia, Liberty, and Outlook herbicides. Made for this. Ingenia Herbicide is a U.S. EPA-restricted use pesticide. Always read and follow label directions.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we built the Ford F-Series for everyone. America's best-selling trucks for 44 years straight. Because the trucks of the future are built for America. Ford F-Series. Drive one today. Based on 1977 to 2020 calendar year total sales. Visit your Oklahoma Ford dealer to take advantage of great offers available now on Ford F-150, Ranger, and Super Duty. Choose from low financing and big cash rebates. See your best in Oklahoma Ford dealer today.
The U.S. Supreme Court earlier this week denied a petition to review California's Proposition 12. The denial was included in a batch of announcements by the Supreme Court. Now, earlier this month, the North American Meat Institute supported its petition, stating the law, quote, provides no benefit to consumers and increases breeding sow mortality, end quote. The California law establishes minimum space requirements based on square feet for calves raised for veal, breeding pigs, and egg-laying hens, and bans the sale of animals confined to areas below minimum square feet requirements. The primary issue raised by the North American Meat Institute and some states is that the law extends to producers located outside of California, imposing crushing burdens on out-of-state farmers and producers who have no political voice to shape the regulation.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says. He says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage. You don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Yes, sir. We are back. I have Kathy Fowler with the Fowler Agency. I want to keep saying insurance, but it's anyways. Kathy is in here. Bryce, her intern's in here and bodyguard, and so we got a few more things to cover with her before we get off the air today. So, how have you seen crop insurance evolve through the years?
Golly, Jimmy, we could be here all day about how things have changed. But the thing I'm most proud about is that crop insurance has adapted to changes in farming, what risks are there. And also, we've made the policies better. The coverage is much better today than it was when I first started. Also, we use a lot of technology. So I think that helps us to be better with the data that we can provide to producers so that you can pinpoint and then your money is better spent. Also, we're looking at how do we address climate change. Crop insurance has stepped up to the plate. We're going to be involved with that. And then also, we've just seen a portion of cover crops be able to give a carbon credit, carbon sequestration with cover crops, and how do we utilize that? And how do we utilize the research that we have? You know, farmers are very innovative, and they're going to require crop insurance to stay up with that process.
Especially with pliers and baling wire.
Pliers, baling wire, and gray tape are always key factors.
Can you insure them crops with that? No. Well, yeah, it's crazy. You know, in the 80s when I worked over at Foss on the Pitzer Ponderosa for Dub, we had lots of cattle, especially during the winter when we had feeders from the feedlot out of Colorado down here, and 5,000 acres of wheat ground and 1,000 acres of alfalfa. We had it was a big operation, and we had drought. We had tornadoes, we had hail, and insurance was tough back then, and it's come a long ways. Because I'm talking about the same time you got into it.
That is exactly right. I just go back and take a look at the early 80s when the farm income was pretty darn tough just due to weather struggles, and the crop insurance program was really started in 81 and really started moving forward in the early 90s and much more advantageous. And even in just the last 4 or 5 years, we reach so many additional folks. We reach ranchers with the livestock protection, the annual forage, the pasture coverage. Those are all great programs. So we're just reaching more and more. And also we have tremendous programs for new beginning farmers.
Yes.
Veteran farmers that are returning from the service. There's a lot of accessibility out there for those folks that wasn't there even 5 years ago, Jimmy. It's just incredible.
It's incredible. And what really caught me off guard is the fires, the big fires we had not more than 2 or 3 years ago up north in Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma and Kansas. I don't remember the numbers, but I was shocked to see how many big, medium, and small farmers didn't have their livestock insured. I was shocked because we've had it since day one. and it was just shocking.
Well, you know, actually, that would be more on a mortality basis, and that's a different program. The livestock we have is just covers for a decline in price.
Price,
which
oh, gotcha.
it puts a floor in there. But we do have insurance. You know, the pasture coverage is a lack of rainfall, but there's also fire insurance, which is
right.
a separate product too.
Yes.
So there's just many ways today to at least reduce the exposure that a farmer or rancher, either one, might have.
The impact, because the impact hurts when you get the full swing of it.
Well, and the crop insurance program that we have today is not going to create income. It's looking at giving you a start to go again and then make sure that we have affordable food and fiber here in the U.S. And I think with COVID, we kind of all learned something new, too. You know, we want those products grown here in the U.S., and I think that's important.
Kathy, what ag organizations are you a part of and involved with? Because I know there's no politics in your job.
Politics is everyday part of my job. And the crop insurance program is so politically driven. We're driven not only by the farm bill, but legislation and how that product is put together. And so it is important to be, you need to be there. And so I'm involved in a agents association called CEPA, Crop Insurance Professionals of America. Actually been to the House Ag Committee twice and testified there on behalf of crop insurance. I'm also a member of the Oklahoma Cotton Council, National Cotton Council, Oklahoma Wheat Growers Association. All of those are important in the Beef Association. If you're not involved in those as a farmer and a rancher, I encourage you to be there. I sort of hang my hat on this statement from Congressman G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania, who I know. He made this comment, and he says, if you're not seated at the table, you're more than likely going to be on the menu. And I think that is so true. We need to be out there.
Yeah, it's very true. Hey, I hear through the grapevine that you're in town for a special occasion over here at the WTC of Elk City. We call it the Danny Britton Building.
Okay.
And for VOTEC.
Yes, at the VOTEC tonight. We are excited to be having our first meeting, live meeting with producers and ranchers since COVID. We're going to be talking about livestock risk management programs, which would be annual forage. That's something you plant annually. That sales closing is July 15th. We'll talk about LRP, livestock risk protection, which insures you for a decline in the market price. It'll put a floor underneath there, much like a put. Livestock gross margin program, and then pasture range and coverage, which really takes place in the fall. But we'll hit on that briefly tonight at the VOTEC.
What time?
6 o'clock tonight, yes, and we're going to feed you. We have chicken fried steaks. That's the best part of the whole deal.
I might just have to come for that.
Jimmy will extend a special invitation for you tonight.
I was afraid of that. She'll probably try turning around on me tonight. Is there any current political issues going on that you think our producers need to know about right now? Current,
absolutely. You need to be plugged in to the possible estate tax changes. Nobody wants to work hard all your life and pass it on and pay tax again. Also, the stepped-up cost basis, I think people are very aware, but you need to weigh in with your congressman in Oklahoma and your senators. And we are actually starting to work on the new farm bill, which will be up for 2023, they are beginning to have farm bill hearings. Congressman Lucas has always been great. Actually, he was chairman of the House Ag Committee for a good time. So we have a lot of input there. He stays plugged in. But it's important because they are having those hearings. They want to hear from producers. They want to hear from me, crop agent. They want to hear from producers. They want to hear from ranchers. And I have to give a shout out to Congressman Lucas. he really provided a lot of input to the current livestock products that we have today.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
He was big in the 2015 or 14 Farm Bill. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those two. Yeah, I just can't remember the days. But
14 because Conaway, yeah. Congressman Conaway was in the 18 Farm Bill. Yes.
Mm-hmm. 14. The Kathy, if anybody has a question for you, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you or your agency?
You feel free to contact our agency at 800-458-4819 or email Kathy@proudtofarm.com. Take a look at our website. It's www.proudtofarm.com. We have a lot of information on there. Or if you want to, you can text my cell at 580-481-0880.
Cool. Thank you so much for being on. Mm-hmm. And it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Beef Breakeven, your daily look at the cattle industry. Brought to you by Blue and Gold Sausage, serving Oklahoma's fundraising needs for 50 years.
Sometimes we are alerted when a problem needs our attention. And other times, the alert is sent, but we don't recognize it. Would you know what to do if your heart was sending an alert? AFib may have symptoms, including a racing heartbeat, dizziness, lightheadedness, shortness of breath, or AFib may have no symptoms at all. Anyone can have atrial fibrillation at any time in their lives. And AFib is linked with a 5 times greater risk for stroke. Wouldn't it be better to know? Yes, it would. Commit to regular checkups. And if your heart is sending a message, listen. Visit heart.org/AFib awareness today and learn more about lowering your risks and living your healthiest life. Brought to you by the American Heart Association and the American Stroke Association.
Good day, folks. Calvin Wright, Beef Breakeven. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced changes to the national list of allowed and prohibited substances in organic livestock production. USDA's Agriculture Marketing Service is finalizing 3 amendments to the national list. Published in the Federal Register last week, the final rule provides additional options for organic farms and businesses by adding 3 substances to the list of substances allowed for organic production and handling. The final rule allows oxalic acid as a pesticide for use in beekeeping, non-organic pollulan for use in dietary supplements with made with organic claims regarding capsules and tablets, and collagen gel as a casing for organic products like sausages. Once in effect, producers and handlers of organic products will be allowed to use the substances in organic production and the products. USDA says the changes are based on public input and the April 2019 National Organic Standards Board recommendations, the final rule to take effect on July 26th of this year. In other news, Cattlemen's Heritage planning to build a $325 million beef processing plant in southwestern Iowa, a facility to employ 750 people, with a target to begin operations in late 2023, that according to the Des Moines Register newspaper. Cattlemen's Heritage is a newly formed company, plans to build a facility near Council Bluffs to process 400,000 head of cattle annually. They expect to process cattle from Iowa, Nebraska, and South Dakota. The facility to help address the issue of cattle processing capacity in the nation, which is a pretty hot topic these days.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back. What a great show that was. Thank you, Kathy Fowler, for coming in. The weather forecast looks pretty good for this time of the year. Today will be in the 80s and light winds. Tomorrow, 87, plus a 60 to 70% chance of rain. Some of you guys might get some rye cut tomorrow if you aren't at the lake fishing. The reason I say that, I seen a really nice Tahoe with a fishing boat hooked up to it in Sarah yesterday at Southbound Convenience Store. If I was guessing, it was Brian Silk, a.k.a. Bill Dance. So you can't get any rye cut if you're on the lake fishing there, Brian. Anyway, Friday, It looks like it'll be in the 80s with a 50% chance of rain. The weekend looks fairly dry with temperatures in the low 80s, so it looks like a great 4th of July weekend. An FYI fact for you on Lugard Lake. Since the rain started a month ago or so, the lake has come up 3 feet. I know that doesn't sound like much, but it's a bunch. It has come up exactly 1 foot since last Wednesday. That added 4,000 acre feet of storage to the lake. Now, the lake's still not near, it's not even half full. It's at 37.79% in the conversation pool. Hopefully, we're getting rains to keep filling the lake up. The lake is very important to farmers, especially cotton farmers in the Greer and Jackson County for irrigation. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Good day, folks. I'm Calvin Wright. Let's check the midday markets on Wednesday. Live cattle, June down 15, 122.40. August down 37 at 121.55. Feeder cattle, August, up 15, 157.55. September, up 20, 160. Lean hogs, July, up 30, 107.27. August, down 42 at 103.20. July corn, down 14, 680.5. September, down 14.5 at 544.75. Kansas City wheat, July, down 9, 610. September, down 9.75, 617.25. Chicago wheat, July, down 4.75, 635. September down 5.25, 641. October cotton down 174 points, 86.40. December down 106 at 86.52. July soybeans down 23 quarters, 13.39. August down 20.5 at 13.19.25. Crude oil August up 7 pennies at 73.05. September also up 7 cents, 72.36. Oil check, some cattle auction numbers in a moment.
Cotton isn't a crop. It's a calling. That's why you battle resistant weeds with guts and determination. BASF helps you win with the most effective in-season weed control program on the market. The powerhouse trio of Ingenia, Liberty, and Outlook are best-in-class post-herbicides, each with a different mode of action, so weeds don't stand a chance. Protect your calling at cottonweedcontrol.com. Ingenia, Liberty, and Outlook herbicides. Made for this. Ingenia Herbicide is a U.S. EPA restricted use pesticide. Always read and follow label directions.
In America, the future belongs to everyone. So we built the freshest lineup of SUVs in America for everyone. Because the SUVs of the future aren't built for a few. They're built for America. Ford SUVs, drive one today. Based on AutoSource Incorporated data obtained on 10-5-20. Visit your Oklahoma Ford dealer to take advantage of great offers available now on Ford Escape, Edge, Explorer, and Expedition. Choose from low financing and big cash rebates. See your best in Oklahoma Ford dealer today.
Oklahoma City West, El Reno Livestock Market, the preliminary numbers for June 29. Feeder cattle this week, 1,200. Last reported, 9,967. Last year, 8,295. Now, compared to last Tuesday, not enough comparable trades of steer and heifer calves were a trend, but a steady undertone was noted. Demand moderate to good. Oklahoma National Stockyards Market, Oklahoma City, the final numbers for June 28th. Feeder cattle this week, 8,842. Last reported, 8,843. Last year, 9,182. Now, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers, $3 to $5 higher. Demand good for feeder cattle despite higher corn futures and lower feeder futures. Steer calves lightly tested, a few sales $4 higher. Heifer calves $2 to $8 higher. Demand good for calves.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
That just makes me smile. Hey, don't forget your summer crop reporting is due in your local FSA office.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, June the 22nd, we sold 1,002 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, June the 24th, we sold 3,565 kids and feeders for a total of 4,567 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 70 up to 8,150, with our thin cows bringing 51 to 69.5, bulls bring 78 to 105. 3 to 4 year old open cows to breed, 7,350 to 78, with a 2 to 4 year old bred cows, 875 to 1075. 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 900 to 1125. With a better 2 to 4 year old pairs, 1785 to 2275. With a 5 to 8 year old pairs, 1085 to 1525. 9 and older pairs, 1200 to 1300. Hunter steer cattle, 350 to 4-weight steers, 170 to 174, 5 to 550, 155 to 166, 6 to 650, 151 to 162, 7 to 750, 140 to 153.5, 8 to 850, 137 to 147.50, 9 to 950 steers, 128 to 140, 1,050 pound steers, 123.5 to 134.50, and 11 to 1150 steers, 120 to 121. Hunter heifers, 350 to 4-weight heifers, 147 to 164, 5 to 550, 130 to 150, 175, 6 to 650, 135 to 147, 7 to 750 heifers, 136 to 142, with their 8 to 850 heifers, 125 to 133.75, 9 to 950, 111 to 126, and 1,050 pound heifers, 113.50 to 115.50. For this Tuesday, June the 29th, we will have 45 bred cows prepared, another 25 pair. We also have got 6 pair that are 2 years old, more by sale time. That'll be our last sale. We will break for a week. After that, no sale Thursday, July the 1st, and no sale Tuesday, July the 6th. So the help can take their family on vacation. Thanks again, Jerry Nine at the Woodford Livestock Auction.
All right, we're going to start all over. We had a little technical issue there, and it wasn't my fault. I didn't push the wrong button, so I won't take claim to this. But anyway, as I was saying earlier, don't forget your summer crop reporting is due at your local FSA office by July 15th. Contact your local FSA office for more information. Here's the Jimmy tip of the week. Sometimes the weather forecasters are right. So next time they forecast 2 to 7 inches of rain, go ahead and move your equipment out of them hay bottoms. That way you don't have to get your neighbor to come pull your equipment out with a jet ski. Tomorrow on Today in Ag, Marcus Thibodeau will join me. He is the big dog at the Pack Saddle WMA and also helps out with Black Kettle Grasslands. So don't miss out tomorrow. This is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Have a great day and God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
From Shamrock, Texas to Weatherford, Oklahoma, we are today's best.